if time permits. So we'll begin, well, Mr. Nicewinder pitching in for the scheduled Ken Rocco, apparently.
Yes.
Welcome.
Yes. Good morning, committee members. For the record, Larry Nicewinder from Legislative Fiscal Office. This morning, the first overview is a natural resources overview, and the agenda notes that as time permits, we will get into the all other. We want you to have all the handouts for those at a minimum. We know there will be some disruptions today because of the scheduled four sessions and Senate session that may or may not cause some folks to be in and out, but we want to make as much progress as we can to complete the overviews. We do have about 34 slides for natural resources, and the all other program has probably about twice that many. So we may not get through all of them, but we wanted you to have the information nonetheless. The natural resources area is got these 14 agencies in it. Sitting behind me are the DAS analysts that are assigned both natural resources and the all other area, and they're here to talk to you about the governor's recommended budget for some of the major agencies in this area. Just in the way of a reminder, this slide just says from the statewide budget perspective of the $11.4 billion general fund, the natural resources is 2% or 0.2 billion of the general fund, and the all other, while we're at that slide, is 4%. When you look at the total budget with other funds, federal funds, and non-limited funds, natural resources is 3%, $1.3 billion. And then we can talk a little bit about those fund sources. Here's how it breaks out. And you can see they have about a 12% of the total funding in 0103 was general fund, federal fund, other funds. And each of the analysts can talk to you a little bit about those fund sources and where those are derived. I've seen a couple of the charts that will cover that in greater detail. Personal services, the breakdown for the types of payments, personal services costs in 0103 were 35%, special payments 28%. The slides we've given you will show you how that changes a little bit in 0305. I think in this area you'll see that at least as the governor's budget is built, personal services expenses are, in this case, a little higher. And as we talked to you earlier, that we believe those figures are overstated some because the salary freeze reductions haven't been taken out yet. But for the most part, the shapes of the pie haven't changed drastically, just the amounts. Over time, historically, in the natural resource area, I think most of the slides we've been showing you in these overviews have had a similar pattern, where there has been growth over the last 3 to 4 biennia, and then you see a drop from the 0103 approved budget to the governor's recommended budget. In this case, obviously, there are other limitations in there. Other funds and federal funds are a big part of the budget. And when we were going through special session actions, we did not decrease those. We tended to focus on the general fund, the lottery fund components, and so there were limitations in there that were probably empty limitations in some cases. We backfilled where we could, but when you see the 0305 governor's recommended budget, you see the total lines drop down. I think that's because some of those empty limitations have also been eliminated. Just to give you a perspective on all the agencies that are in this one again, this slide shows you that for all funds budgets for 0103 and 0305, where the general fund dollars are located. OWEB has the most significant amount of general fund. Parks and Recreation, that's lottery funds. So this will give you a perspective on where the subcommittees will probably be spending the majority of their time dealing with the larger agencies. As far as budget drivers, this list gives you a sense of what drives the cost in this area. I'm sure the analysts that are talking to you about the governor's rec budgets may deal with some of those components. With that, I think unless you have some questions, we're ready to talk about the governor's budget.
Questions? Let's keep going.
Okay. I'll introduce Lisa Pearson to give you an overview for natural resources.
And Lori Byron. Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, my name is Lisa Pearson with the Department of Administrative Services, and to my right is Lori Byerly, who will be presenting more detail on the budgets for agriculture and forestry. But before we go into the detailed presentation on agencies, we thought that having some program overview would be helpful. And the governor's budget for 2003-05 is 1% general fund less than the 2001-03 legislatively adopted budget. And that's primarily because of the budget reductions that you're all familiar with, and also the elimination of some one-time general fund for some agencies, and we will cover that when we get to the agencies. Other funds is 2% greater than the 2001-03 legislatively adopted budget. And this is because of some bond refinancing or refunding at the Office of Energy, inflation. This program area, unlike the other program areas that you have seen to this date, did retain all of the inflation through the governor's balanced budget process. There are some fund shifts, which we will go into for those specific agencies, and some fee changes. Lottery funds is 9% less than the 2001-03 legislatively adopted budget, and that's primarily because since about the mid-1990s, we have had a relatively flat lottery fund growth, and also there were some one-time lottery administrative savings that were incorporated in the 2001-03 budget, but because those were used, they had to be removed from the 2003-05 budget.
Mr. Chair.
Question.
Just one quick question. The fee change issue, adding 2% to other funds, is that based upon current law, or is this anticipated additional fees that the governor is proposing?
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, the fee changes are actually dependent upon some bills that the
legislature. So this isn't based upon current law, the budget?
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, the governor does have the option with policy packages to recommend changes to current law, and those policy packages would be contingent upon those laws passing. But the decision point is at the policy package level and is clearly defined and may be a go or a no-go.
So, and just a final follow-up, Mr. Chair. As I understand, this other fund 2% increase is based upon policy option packages which may or may not pass.
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, a portion of it is, but the remaining portion would be increases because of inflation where existing other fund sources of revenue had been there and they just hadn't been tapped into, or that there would be a natural increase because of an increase in the number of payers. There are a number of reasons. One area that would contribute to other funds would be contracts.
Well, you don't need to get specific. I just want to make sure that we were all dealing from the same understanding of what current law was and might include. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Question, Senator Dukes.
Representative Butler makes a very good point. Traditionally, we don't budget things that haven't happened yet, just on the outside chance that they might not happen. Are you sure some of that 2% isn't increased sales of hunting and fishing licenses, as we've had a lot more fish?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, yes, some of it is going to be natural growth, as I just mentioned, where projections would be the result of population changes, some of the budget drivers that were on the last slide from legislative fiscal. Some of it would be additional contracting. There has been more activity with partners providing more contracts, and those tend to be budgeted as other funds.
Continue.
This slide shows the other fund revenue components over time, and there's a caveat that goes with this slide, which is that some of the information from the 91-93 period may have been recorded differently from how it is currently recorded, but at least this gives you a flavor of the change over time. And the components are licenses and fees, sales income, charges for services, fines, rents, and royalties, and donations and contributions. And the licenses and fees category has increased by 69% over that period of time. The sales income has increased 79%. Charges for services has actually increased 560%. Fines increased 89%, and donations and contributions have increased 862%. Now, the two categories where the percentages sound astronomical were relatively low to begin with, and so the percentage change is just going to be because it was from a lower base. We do have the dollar figures if you're interested that between those two periods. As I said, this is to be taken with a grain of salt because there have been changes in how agencies would consider revenue, but this at least gives you a flavor for how things have been going over the past 10 years. Okay. The next slide shows the components of the fee increase or fee category that was shown on the previous slide. And as you can see, commercial fish licenses have remained fairly flat and steady. There's been a slight bump up in power and water fees, which probably came from the activity around the energy crisis over the past couple of years. Park user fees did increase from 91-93. However, they are flat between the 2003-05 and the 2001-99-01 actuals. Non-business licenses and fees have increased, and examples of these are on-site disposal fees, which would affect both business owners and homeowners, septic tanks, for example, and then municipal wastewater discharge permits. There has been a 179% increase in the non-business licenses and fees over the period of 10 years. And interestingly, it's been a 46% increase for business licenses and fees over the same period. And examples of business licenses and fees are air contaminant discharge permits, hazardous waste generator permits, and hydroelectric revenue. So these would be permits and fees that are charged specifically to businesses and don't affect the general public. And then hunter and angler licenses, as you can see, have gone up since the 91-93 period, and they are proposed to go up again through a fee bill and also some policy packages.
Mr. Chair?
Question, Senator Messerly.
I'm confused on this. The fees in most cases dropped from 99-01 to 91-93. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going the wrong way. I'm sorry. I was thinking 03.
Then the second...
Representative Butler, I think you have a question also.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Two items I just want to quickly make sure that I understand, Lisa. Park user fees are flat during a time when people aren't doing a great deal of traveling outside the country. That means that we're probably not using our parks to the expanded ability that we thought we would be using them in this biennium.
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, I believe that there has been an increase since the terrorist attacks in interest in parks. There has been some adjustment that hasn't actually increased the fee charged per visit.
Okay.
But there have been adjustments to expand the number of parks that are covered, for example. And so there's some fluctuations in there that will be presented to the Natural Resources Subcommittee in great detail.
Right. Just another follow-up, but which excuse me, which is more general in nature and not necessarily just exclusive to the committee. I just want to make certain that the fines and penalties that are charged, which are not a portion of these non-business licenses and fees, that those do go into the general fund and not back to the agency in all cases.
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, I would say that generally that's correct. There has been some discussion about the possibility of some legislation that would allow some agencies to retain that has not come to fruition yet, but generally that's probably correct.
And a follow-up to my other point, Mr. Chair, and I'm sorry to belabor this.
A lot of work here, sir.
None of these anticipated fines staying in the agency has been budgeted for because that's not current law.
Yes, on that piece,
thank you.
Representative Butler, yes. At this point. The next thing that we wanted to cover, which influences or affects a number of agencies in this program area, is the Major 66 lottery funds, and that would be the next slide. And the history of Major 66 is that it's a constitutional amendment that was passed in 1998 by the voters. It dedicates 15% of net lottery proceeds to parks and also to restoring native fish and watersheds. And of that 15%, 7.5% goes to parks and 7.5% goes to fish and watersheds. The fish and watershed portion has some restrictions on it. There's a 35% maximum allowed for operating and 65% minimum allowed for capital. Four agencies receive Major 66 lottery fund, and those are the Watershed Enhancement Board, Fish and Wildlife, Agriculture, and the Oregon State Police Fish and Wildlife Division. Now, there's an issue here with inflation, and this will continue to be an issue if inflation and personnel costs continue to roll up in future biennia until Major 66 is potentially reauthorized in 2014. And that is because inflation and particularly personal services costs tend to increase faster than the inflation on the capital side. We have found, particularly with this budget development, that the operating portion, the 35%, was exceeded, and we did not meet the minimum 65% if we were to continue normal procedures of budget development. And so these four agencies had to take a reduction to adjust so that we stayed within the 35% on operating and we made the 65% on capital. Are there any questions?
Sure. Just a comment before we get into the questions. This is something I assume the subcommittee will deal with in detail, and we will just superficially touch on at the full committee. Senator Messerly first, then Representative Bates.
I just wanted to clarify my own, and maybe for the committee, that the law, I believe it was House Bill 3225, designated that those funds first go to a single agency. Is that DAS, and then they DAS distributes it to the other four?
Mr. Co-Chair and Senator Messerly, yes, but the way it works is the revenue actually goes to DAS, and it goes out to the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, and the Watershed Enhancement Board is considered to be the single agency under House Bill 3225. And then from there, and this is strictly on the fish and wildlife portion of it, not the parks portion, from there it is then distributed to the four agencies that you see on this slide.
Representative Bates.
Well, thank you, Senator. Just quickly, I try to get a question real quickly on your fee thing, because it brought to my mind something that's concerning to rural parts of the state. There have been serious questions about management of certain resources the public uses, not only the parks but fish resources, and the declining number of people actually buying licenses. And I would hope the subcommittee look at that very carefully. You have an increase in funds from them, but a lot of that, I believe, is an increase in licensing fees and not necessarily an increase in people using it. And at one point, a few years ago, the number of people buying hunting and fishing licenses, despite an increase in state population, was actually going down. A great deal of that, many of us have felt, was because the experience was also going down. In my particular area, we have many people now buy fishing licenses in California, because they'd rather drive across the border and fish in California, where the experience could be superior than in Oregon, which is a travesty from my point of view, and goes directly back to the agency handling that resource. So I'm hoping the subcommittee will discuss that when time comes.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bates, there is factored into the projection of revenue for the bill that would increase the fees, basically a price sensitivity component. So that has been somewhat taken into account, but the subcommittee will get into great detail, I'm sure, with that piece.
I want to make it clear, Senator, that this is not a matter of price sensitivity. It's about the experience people are having when they go out and try to catch fish and go hunting. And the experience can be better in other states, in Montana, in Idaho, and in California, of all places, than it is in Oregon. That's a direct relationship to how this resource has been managed, and that's the real question. People will come if you have a good experience. They will not keep coming if they don't.
Moving right along.
Okay, the next slide it repeats a slide that was shown earlier, but what it does is show the actual general fund lottery fund broken out. The previous slide in the LFO portion of the presentation had both of them combined. And the slide shows the burgundy is the lottery fund. And except for a tiny, tiny little portion at the very tip of the Department of Environmental Quality, which is for debt service, and a portion in agriculture, which is for county fairs, all of the rest of the lottery funds in this program area is Measure 66 constitutionally dedicated. And what this slide also shows is how we're going to go through the presentation from now on, and that is that we're going to take the largest general fund lottery fund agencies, so starting with the Department of Agriculture, working down the chart to the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, and we won't be discussing Parks and Recreation because all of their lottery funds is Measure 66, and they have not been participating as a result. It's dedicated in the discussions about special session reductions, et cetera, and we figured that that would be a better agency to handle in subcommittee, given the time constraints. So with that, we'll have Lori Byerly discuss the Department of Agriculture budget.
Good morning, Mr. Co-Chairs, members of the subcommittee. The first slide briefly shows some of the functions of the Department of Agriculture. The agency's main concern is safeguarding consumers, protecting the environment, and promoting agriculture by inspecting and testing the food supply, ensuring measurement device accuracy, regulating the use of pesticides and fertilizers, controlling foreign pests and plant diseases, managing agricultural pollution and water quality, marketing Oregon products, grading seeds and produce for quality, and certifying agricultural handling practices. The next slide gives you a little bit of the department's budget history. The stack bars show what portions of the department's budget are federal funds, other funds, lottery fund, and general fund. When you compare the 03-05 governor's balanced budget with the 2001-03 legislatively adopted budget, you'll see some changes. As we move into the GBB, the budget decreases by $1.6 million general fund, or about 9%. This is the decrease is primarily due to the rolling forward of special session general fund reductions, which were biennialized for 03-05, as well as the phase out of some base expenditures that were one time. If you look at the lottery fund portion of the bar, which is the burgundy line, you'll see that the lottery fund dollar amount increases. There's about a $0.2 million increase in lottery funds, which is about 2.6%. This increase is due to inflation on the Measure 66 expenditures that Lisa discussed earlier, as well as a slight increase in the county fair distributions. Other funds increased by about $9.2 million, or about 20%. This relatively large increase is due to several things. Inflation, a large portion is due to backfilling of general fund reductions in special sessions. The department had other funds resources ending balances available to shift some pieces of some programs to other resources. And that was done as part of special session actions, and it was also carried forward into 2003-05 in the governor's budget. There are also a couple of policy packages which are fee supported that bring in additional fee revenues for specific fee for service programs. The federal funds increased by about $1.3 million, or just over 17%. This increase is due to inflation, additional federal contract work in the food safety area, as well as policy packages related to specific federal programs for plant and pest disease programs, as well as some homeland security funds for the federal government. Overall, the agency's budget increases by about $9.2 million total funds, or just under 12%. The next slide indicates some of the things that are included in the 2003-05 governor's budget. The budget maintains core agency services. It continues general fund reductions that were made during the 2001-2003 biennium. Impacted programs include predator control, which are general fund dollars going to the federal government to assist with that program, pesticide response, laboratory services, water conservation, and packaged product inspections. The budget maximizes the use of non-general fund resources to restore and or continue programs. The budget also expands support for food safety, nursery, feed, and confined animal feeding operation programs. The budget does include fee increases to maintain existing program levels and customer demand. There are included as part of that fee package, there are a couple pieces of legislation which could support statutory changes to fees. The department has also raised fees administratively during the 2001-03 biennium as allowed by statute, and does have a bill for ratifying those fees in the 2003-05 biennium. Mm-hmm. Is there any questions?
The next largest agency would be the Department of Fish and Wildlife in terms of general fund lottery fund. And its mission is to prevent serious depletion of indigenous species and provide optimum recreational and aesthetic benefits for present and future generations. There are three major programs. There's the fish program, the wildlife program, and then the habitat program. The fish programs include propagation, which would be such things as hatcheries, production, which it seeks to increase the native fish population, and activities would include fish screening. There's the marine program, and then there's the interjurisdictional fisheries program, which covers a variety of different issues where things aren't so discreetly laid out between policies. Wildlife programs include diversity, habitat, and game. And then there actually is a habitat program, which is different from the wildlife habitat program. And that includes assessment, monitoring, technical assistance for both fish and habitat efforts. This slide shows the fish and wildlife budget history. And between the governor's balanced budget and the 2001-03 legislatively adopted budget, general fund is reduced by 12%, other funds increases by 10%, federal funds increases by 3%, and lottery funds decreases by 12%. Okay. The reasons for these changes. The reasons for these changes are on the next slide. The budget essentially continues or maintains the level of service at a level similar to the 2001-03 biennium. There are some changes because of reductions. However, overall, the total funding remains about the same. It relies on increasing fees and continuing a surcharge on hunting and fishing licenses to generate $10.3 million of other fund revenue. And this keeps operations going and also protects dedicated and obligated accounts, which has been a fiscal issue since 1993. That leads into phase outs. There's a phase out of one-time general fund, which was provided in the 2001-03 budget to repay the fish endowment account, which is now known, or the successor account is the deferred maintenance account. And there was an issue starting back around 1993 with having borrowed from the fish endowment account to cover cash flow, and they needed to repay that. And the catalyst for going out to constituents and inquiring about the possibility of a fee increase in large part is driving to trying to get their financial or fiscal house in order. I should mention that the agency did go out and had 9 town hall meetings last April. Over 1,000 Oregonians attended, and they were asked what their highest priorities were in terms of the services that the agency provides. And consistently, enforcement and field personnel were ranked first and second by the people who attended the town hall meetings. Hatcheries were third, and fourth was landowner assistance. And in building the budget and also developing the fee proposal, the agency incorporated these rankings, these priorities, the feedback that they got from the town hall meetings. So let's go through some of the reductions from House Bill 5100. You'll see these priorities reflected there as well. There's also some phase out of fish screen lottery fund that was carried over from the 99-01 biennium. That's all used up now, and so it's no longer available, and so that's phased out. The budget also continues a rebalance that was required by a budget note. The agency needed to realign its budget with how it does business better,
But also, there were a large number of positions with tiny fractions of FTE floating through the budget. And the budget note said, consolidate and look at what you're actually doing and clean it up. And so they did that, and that was approved in the third special session, and that is continued in the 2003-05 biennium. The proposed budget maintains $4 million of screening money, fish screen money, on the capital Major 66 lottery fund piece. And going to the next slide, reductions from special session two are continued. That's the one way back last February, except for an Oregon plan fund shift, which used some Pacific Coastal Salmon Resource funds from the federal government, and that was reversed. There are the special session three reductions. There were some actual reductions, not just rebalance actions taken at that time. And the section one of House Bill 5100 shifted four hatcheries over to other funds from general fund, and that is continued on into the future. The section two House Bill 5100 reductions, which could take effect February 1st, include impacts to the deer and green forage programs, and these are landowner assistance programs. So again, we see that the town hall meeting priorities were taken into account in the list of reductions for the 5100 plan. There's also reductions to hatchery emergency maintenance, groundfish research, and Oregon plan work, and also a reduction to administration deferred maintenance and capital improvement. And that essentially sums up the fish and wildlife budget at a fairly high level.
Questions?
The next agency will be the Department of Forestry.
Just real briefly, the Department of Forestry, the basic functions are to protect, manage, and promote healthy forests in the state of Oregon. It coordinates and provides resources to fight forest fires on both public and private lands, an issue that was real high profile this last fire season, manages state-owned public forests, enforces guidelines for soil, air, water, fish, and slash burns management, assists forest landowners with regulatory, tree health, forest practices, and tax issues, and also monitors forest pests and tree diseases. The next slide shows the department's budget over the last couple of biennia. You'll see if you compare the governor's balanced budget for 2003-05 with the 2001-03 legislatively adopted budget, you'll see a slight increase overall. This increase is about 0.3 million. Excuse me. The budget increases by about 16.8 million total funds, or a little less than 8%. The general fund component changes less than 1%. There's a 0.3 million increase in general fund from the legislatively adopted budget to the governor's balanced budget. The agency has taken general fund reductions, but at the same time, the special session reductions were offset by inflation and also an increase in general fund support for base fire protection costs. The agency has been struggling to deal with the cost of base fire protection, and some general fund was infused to assist with that difficulty. I'm sure in subcommittee we'll have extensive discussion of the cost of fire protection, as well as the availability of funding for that, and what role the state budget should play in trying to fight fires on both public, private, and state and federal lands in Oregon. The other funds decreased by about 6.4 million other funds, or 3.5%. This is primarily due to the elimination of one-time 2001 fire season costs. Agency got additional dollars for fighting fires in this current biennium, and those costs were phased out because we don't want to assume that we're going to be fighting fires at that same level, hopefully in 2003-05. It increased by 23 million federal funds, which is more than six times the 2003 legislatively adopted budget figure. The reason for this increase is due to some additional federal resources for programs, as well as a budget reporting change. The agency has determined it's more accurate to reflect some of its other funds expenditures as federal funds in the budget. So that's why it's so large.
Any questions?
And the next slide will show you briefly at a high level what things are included in the governor's 2003-05 budget. At $238 million total funds, the governor's balanced budget for the agency maintains core services with general fund reductions. There have been reductions across all general fund program areas, fire protection, forest practices, forestry assistance, and administration. The special session actions ultimately cut 39 positions, $5 million general fund, and $8.3 million other funds from the agency budget. That other funds cut is related to the fire protection program, where a piece of the general fund is tied to the other fund. So when you cut one, you have to reduce in the other fund size as well. There's a link there on the fire protection program side. The budget increases support for cooperative fire protection, forest plan implementation, and smoke management. These increases are a combination of other funds as well as some federal fund resources that are available for these program enhancements. The budget also adds positions to staff the Tillamook Interpretive Center. It also anticipates increases in expenditure limitation and fund balances caps for the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund. This is the fund that is statutorily in place to help the agency manage extraordinary fire costs during severe fire seasons. And over time, it appears that the fund caps are less than they should be, especially in light of recent fire seasons.
Any questions?
Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick looking at your budget, Lori, the lottery funds show no lottery funds. I was wondering about Measure 66 funds, if they're in there anywhere, or if those funds, by the time they arrive here, are treated as other funds after passing through OWEB.
Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Butler, the agency is no longer receiving any part of the Measure 66 funds at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions?
The Department of Environmental Quality is the next agency in terms of general fund and lottery fund size in this program area. And this slide shows its budget history over the past two biennia. The general fund decreases by 23% from the legislatively adopted budget for 2001-03. The lottery funds goes up 260%, and that's debt service on some bonds that were issued this current biennium. And so that would be the roll-up on the debt service. It's actually a small number in reality, but because you've started again with a small base number, the percentage increase looks quite large. Other funds decreases by 12%. And the primary reason there is that there was a bonding program, companion loan program, that wasn't attracting any demand. And so rather than continuing to have that expenditure limitation, well, actually it was non-limited, but having that float around in the budget, that was eliminated, and that's in the tens of millions. So that clearly influences the picture here. And then federal funds is increased by 13%, and that's primarily because the federal government has started to do things a little differently in terms of its base granting that it provides to the agency. These are not grants that they have to go out and apply for. They're non-competitive. It's just a normal yearly process, and they've decided to do things a little bit differently, so the money is flowing in a little bit better and faster. The next slide shows what the agency's mission and its six major programs are, and its mission is to be a leader in restoring, maintaining, and enhancing the quality of Oregon's air, water, and land. The six major programs are air quality, water quality, land quality, and that would be hazardous waste, also contaminated site cleanup, that kind of activity. Cross-media, which is a way of saying those things that cross all three of those previous program areas. There's no good way of splitting things out, so it needs a coherent approach. There's administration, and then there are the bonding and loan programs, which are primarily for cleanup and also for wastewater kinds of activities where they would loan out to municipalities to help them build treatment plants, that kind of thing. The next slide shows the actions that resulted in the governor's budget. First, we have a phase out of the portion of the state Clean Water Revolving Fund, that just it's a normal occurrence, and they predict on, you know, demand projections for the future, what things will look like for the next biennium, and so that was phased out, but it's still a relatively large dollar figure. The air toxics program was phased out, and then there was an air quality energy expediting resource added for this biennium with the energy crisis that faced the 2001 legislature, and that's phased out because things seem to be a bit calmer right now. It continues all non-temporary special session reductions. It continues all House Bill 5100 reductions. It also takes a reduction from the Clean Water State Revolving Fund, and that's about $2 million. And how that's accomplished is by shifting the debt service over from general fund to other funds. So the program itself will continue to operate. It's just that the fund source will be different. And then there's a reduction to orphan site bonding. And orphan sites are contaminated sites where no payer can be found or could be made to pay. And so they need to be cleaned up. And traditionally, the agency has requested an amount of bond proceeds plus debt service to basically capitalize a fund for the subsequent biennium. They would need to have general fund to do that, and that was not available. And so there will not be, as it is adopted, an infusion of additional resources for orphan site cleanup. They would still have whatever remains from previous biennia, but there wouldn't be an additional amount for the next biennium. The next slide shows further additions or changes to the governor's budget. It does maintain the vehicle inspection program as a state-operated and state-staffed program. That adds 70 vehicle inspection program staff. I need to mention that there was actually a phase out of 78 staff, approximately. So this, you know, restores those staff, but at a reduced level of or fewer staff, basically. However, it does change them from limited duration, which is why they phased out, to 20 would be permanent, and that's based on what the program would need in the long term, as assessed by the agency, and then 50 will remain as limited duration and go away at the end of the 2003-05 biennium. There is funding for laboratory rent. The laboratory is housed on the Portland State University campus, and there's been an ongoing issue with the university wanting that space for its own purposes, and it's the end of their lease agreement. And they've actually had a couple of extensions, but things have come to a point where the per square foot cost will go up. And also, they're pretty crowded, and so there's some additional space in there. It provides resources to complete the total maximum daily load plans. And those would go, the resources would provide the opportunity to continue the plans through December of 2003, and that would finish it up, and the development would be over, and we would be on to implementation. It continues federally funded efforts, including the implementation of the total maximum daily load plans. It continues the Lapine on-site waste disposal project. It continues the non-point discharge stormwater permitting project. It adds a Umatilla depot compliance effort to make sure that things are going okay with the Umatilla depot. And then there's an ongoing data management project to try and exchange information better and faster that's also federally funded. And then it adds resources for facilities coordination and also pollution tax credit work. Apparently, pollution tax credit requests have come in at a greater number than had been expected in 2001. So there are some resources added there. And that essentially covers the Department of Environmental Quality budget. Are there any questions on that budget?
Representative Butler?
Thank you. Just quickly, Mr. Chair, I wanted to make certain that the DEQ fines that were involved here did move back to general fund. There's no anticipation that they would be used in this budget.
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, that's what I mentioned earlier. At this point, the budget does not change anything. It would continue to go to the general fund as it has before.
Okay.
There has been, like I said, a proposal that hasn't come to fruition yet that looks at that possibility that they might retain some.
Mr. Chair, the issue with regard to the vehicle inspection program, I thought that the E-Board had worked a little bit different direction to move that to a private agency, much like other states were doing. They're breaking down the doors to try and get these into private agencies where they find some much more efficiencies. And that's not anticipated continuing. We're going to go back and reinvent the clock here.
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, you're absolutely right. This is a subject that has come before the emergency board. There have been there's been a request for a proposal and a proposal, and there continues to be work behind the scenes on that option. In terms of this being proposed, it puts it on the table for discussion in the Ways and Means Subcommittee.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you.
Then the final natural resource agency would be the Watershed Enhancement Board. Their mission is to promote and implement programs to restore, maintain, and enhance watersheds in the state of Oregon in order to protect the economic and social well-being of the state and its citizens. And they have three major programs. They have their operations program, they have their capital construction program, and the research and development program. The next slide shows their budget history. It's a young agency, and between the 2001-03 biennium and the proposed 2003-05 budget, general fund decreases by 88%. And that is because the general fund that was provided in the 2001-03 biennium was one time phased out. It has nothing to do with any kind of artificial or non-artificial reduction. Lottery funds decreases by 26%, and that's primarily because there was a large amount of carryover from the 99-01 biennium that has now been used up and is no longer available. Other funds increases by 20%, and federal funds increases by 32%. And the next slide shows how we got to these figures. As I mentioned, the general fund phased out, and that was for assessment and monitoring, Willamette Restoration Initiative grant work, and that was just a natural, normal process. The capital fund lottery from 99-01, as I mentioned, did phase out. It was used. And then there's this Federal Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund, which has come in every federal fiscal year since about 2000. And a portion of it was used and is no longer available, so it also phased out. The budget maintains a grant program manager as the agency has continued to operate. It has more and more grants out to volunteers and local organizations. And so they have a need for a staff person to continue to just track all of that and make sure everything's operating as it should. They also inherit the Lower Columbia River Estuary Program from the Department of Environmental Quality. And this actually provides the only general fund in the proposed budget, and that's $101,280. And that program is a joint effort between the state of Oregon and the state of Washington, the federal government, to look at estuary issues in the Lower Columbia. It seemed like it was a better fit, quite frankly, in the Watershed Enhancement Board than in DEQ. And it also includes the reductions that I mentioned to the operating and capital and the Major 66 discussion. And it uses the remainder of the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund dollars that came in during this current biennium, but were not used in order to fund base program. There is discussion in Congress that maybe up to $14 million might be available for this grant at some point during the next biennium. That, at this point, has not actually been adopted by Congress, and it's not in the budget as a consequence. But it is something that may come up later on during session as an option or an opportunity, and certainly the subcommittee will be taking a look at that and how the money can be used. And that essentially covers the Watershed Enhancement Board. Are there any questions?
Questions? Thank you for your presentation.
And the next presentation will then be...
All right, thanks.
I assume that this is the water fund, so it's under 66. I can't see that there's a difference. I don't think it's the general funds. Because it's called the water funds.
What's it saying?
A budget increase in other funds. Interesting.
Good morning, committee members. Again, Larry Nicewinder from Legislative Fiscal. The last set of slides is in the second packet that was placed before you this morning, all other programs. This area encompasses... This catches up with me. Here we go. Encompasses... These five bulleted areas. Each of them we'll talk about individually as time permits. The first one being administration. Again, these all other programs are about 4% of the statewide budget, general fund, and in the total funds, you see administration down at the bottom there about 3%, 4.8 billion. I'm not sure why it's going backwards there. These are the 16 agencies that are in this area, and again, we will hit the highlights for the large ones only for you. In 0103, about $4 billion. You'll see for 0305, this area has about $4.6 billion total funds. The other funds, non-limited, and when you see special payments in this area, this is primarily PERS payments, pension payments, health care insurance refunds, employer contributions, or PERS. That's the largest piece of this. Debt service, primarily in this area, probably is on lottery bonds. The growth here to $4.6 billion in 0305. Based on the table that we just saw in 0403, it's about 1.1 million more in lottery funds and about 5.3 more million in general fund. And analysts will talk to you a little bit about the growth, what's causing the growth. Retirees obviously are driving the special payments and the need for PERS payments to go up. A little different than some of the other slides in terms of the historical perspective. Again, the growth primarily driven by PERS in terms of total funds. This area, and you can see from this chart, total funds wise, it's the PERS payments are a significant driver in the admin area. And those are largely part of the non-limited budget because they're payments. And the general fund, however, the pie chart shifts to where the Department of Revenue is the primary agency receiving general fund. And the analysts will talk to you now about what's in the governor's rec for these major administrative area budgets.
Thank you, Larry. For the record, my name is Cora Parker with the Department of Administrative Services. Adam Torgerson is listed as the program area coordinator for the admin program area, and he was not able to be here today, so I'll be presenting on his behalf. Budget drivers for the admin program area. Obviously, retirement from PERS drives some of the administrative costs within PERS, the agency. Now, that's a separate issue from the larger PERS issues that you're all discussing in other committees and is obviously a major focus of the different issues you'll have to focus on this session. The retirements are a driver for the actual operational budget of PERS, which is really, I believe it's only about $50 million. So a very different look from the huge number that you see from an agency-wide standpoint, which is actually the non-limited payments, as Larry mentioned, out to retirees. Other budget drivers, tax return filers and non-filers drive the Department of Revenue activities. State liquor store sales drive the Liquor Control Commission activities. Obviously, state agencies of port and demand drive most of the services that come out of the Department of Administrative Services. The Secretary of State, their services are driven by elections needs, audit needs, archive services, etc. The size of government and other issues drive the activities in the governor's office, and then federal and state reading programs have a large impact on activities within the state library. With respect to the governor's balanced budget in this program area, as Larry mentioned, there are 16 different agencies in the admin area, and I'm only actually going to focus on two of them for you today at a detail level because of time constraints, and obviously subcommittees will get down to detailed level for the other agencies. Agencies in this area range from those that provide services to other state agencies, such as the Department of Administrative Services, to some regulatory functions, and also a number of the advocacy commissions are in this program area. The governor's budget in this area includes $5.2 billion total funds. That's a 13.5% increase from the 2001-03 ledge adopted through fifth special session budget. It includes an 8.6% increase in general fund, which is $162 million. Just generally for some of the agencies, there are reductions in the Department of Revenue that carry forward from special session actions. There are also some restorations there, which we'll talk about because the Department of Revenue is one of those that I'll break out in detail for you. The governor's budget supports some initiatives in the PERS budget, accuracy, productivity, backlog issues. Again, those are operational focuses, not the larger PERS issues that you're talking about from a system-wide standpoint. In the OLCC budget, there's a decrease of 15.5 full-time equivalent position authority and also some other operating expenses. And the focus there is on increasing revenues ultimately that go to the general fund. And I believe that intends to get about $1.5 million additional resources to the general fund. And then for most of the other agencies in this program area, we continue the special session reductions that were put into place this biennium. The Department of Revenue major duties are to collect taxes pursuant to the state's tax laws. The agency administers the state income tax program. It helps counties assess and collect property taxes. It collects and distributes taxes and fees for other state agencies and local governments. It also operates three tax relief programs for elderly persons and disabled persons, both for those that own their own homes and those who are in certain rental situations. And then it serves as a member of the Multi-State Tax Commission, which is helping to make to achieve uniformity to some extent between states. This is just a brief look at the historical budgetary changes for the Department of Revenue. You can see by the yellow bars that general fund does make up the bulk of this agency's budget. Growth over time has been a function both of inflation and also addition of programs to the department, including audit staff, tobacco tax compliance, I think you'll remember from this biennium. So those are some of the activities that drive that growth. This is just a brief look at the governor's balanced budget for 03-05. We're looking at approximately 12.1% increase in general fund, and I'll talk about some of those reasons in a moment. Total funds, we're looking at an increase of 10.8%, and those increases are from the ledge approved through fifth special session number. So they're driving off of a reduced base compared to what you had originally approved when we went home last session. This is just a graphical look at the numbers that we just looked at in the previous chart. 2002 special session reductions to the department. Reductions already in place include some rent savings for new positions. This was a one-time action only. There were reductions in planned technology and infrastructure upgrades. Savings due to the hiring freeze, reductions in training activities for employees, and then closure of the Chicago Audit Office. Reductions that will go into place if ballot measure 28 fails include reductions in audit and collection staff and education assistance to the property tax, the personal and corporate income tax payers. elimination of a portion of the agency's tobacco compliance task force, a reduction in pass-through payments to counties for administration of local property taxes, and then a delay again in replacement of personal computers, upkeep on computer systems, and infrastructure and other hiring and free savings. The governor's balanced budget for this agency eliminates $2.2 million general fund through technology and other efficiencies. That's a continuation of some of those reductions that would be put into place based on ballot measure 28. The next sentence there is actually a repeat of what I'll get to down below. It does restore some ballot measure 28 reductions if the measure fails. And the thought there that as you go, as you get to a certain level with the Department of Revenue, you actually start taking general fund collections off the table. So you may be having initial administrative savings for the agency, but you're reducing your revenue that you're bringing in for the state overall. So there has been some restoration in this agency's budget. The governor's budget includes an enhancement to the Treasury Offset Program. This is expected to generate $3 million for general fund and cost just $250,000. And then, as I mentioned earlier,
Senator Harper, Senator Morris,
did we have a floor session at 10 o'clock?
We've been excused. You're not carrying that bill today, are you?
Well, I'm opposing it. So I'll excuse myself here.
Okay, that's fine. Never miss a chance to vote no.
And then the governor's budget reestablishes three positions to continue the tobacco tax compliance task force. And again, the goal there is to actually put general fund revenue dollars back on the table. The other agency that I'll focus on in the admin program area is the Department of Administrative Services. And where the Department of Revenue is a major general fund agency in this category, Department of Administrative Services is a major other fund agency in this category. It operates as the central administrative agency for the state of Oregon. Includes, and I've listed all of the departments here, but there's the director's office, you see the Office of Economic Analysis, obviously coming before you, bringing revenue forecasts. Budget and management is included here, State Controller's Division, that's financial activities for the state, Information Resource Management Division, Public Employees Benefit Board, Human Resource Services Division, Procurement Fleet and Surplus Services, that's purchasing and transportation services for the most part. Facilities Division, Risk Management, the Arrest and Return Program is in the Department of Administrative Services. And then we have a number of policy offices, Community Development Office, Health Policy and Research, and the Oregon Progress Board, which I'll talk briefly about in a moment. And then the department is also responsible for a number of special payments and revenue distributions, including lottery funds, MUPL funds, tobacco settlement funds. The department this biennium and next is responsible for the Oregon Opportunity Bonds that are going to OHSU and a variety of other small distributions. Historically, you can see that general fund is a very small component of the Department of Administrative Services budget. You see that the department obviously has had significant growth over the last couple of biennia. Again, the large growth that you see in 0103 and maintained in 0305 is for the most part, and we'll get into more detail at the subcommittee level, but that's bringing MUPL on to the DAS budget, bringing tobacco securitization dollars into the DAS budget, the OHSU opportunity bonds, et cetera. So from a total funds perspective, that's where you see somewhat of a jump there. Again, those are special payments that go out to other agencies or other local districts. The governor's budget for 03-05 for DAS includes $5.3 million in general fund. That is a reduction. Those reductions, for the most part, are taken to the small policy offices, arrest and return program, et cetera. Lottery funds, the increase that you see there is debt service on bonds that were issued this last biennia for KSYS and OPB. And then other funds and non-limited funds, there's some shifts there between the two as far as non-limited versus limited. We're actually bringing some more limited on budget, shifting out of the non-limited category. But growth overall for the department is just about 1% compared to the previous biennia. And there's actually a reduction in total FTE. Is there a question?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman?
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just so I understand this, the direct appropriation of general funds is, as you say, quite limited, but actually, would it be under other funds? You're getting the distribution from other agencies, and the sources of those funds may very well be general funds.
Yes, Mr. Chair and Senator Devlin, that's absolutely correct. The department is funded primarily from fees for services and assessment funding, and roughly a third of those other funds that come into the department are from general fund agencies. So you're absolutely correct that the department does have an impact on the charges going out from other agencies.
Thank you.
Again, this is just a graphical representation of the numbers in the chart below. Special session reductions to the department, general fund reductions, again, primarily are to those policy offices, community development office, health policy and research, and the arrest and return program. You may remember that in the second special session, we took a 3-cent reduction to the uniform rent rate, both for the current biennium and for 03-05. There were reductions to several miscellaneous distributions. There were some one-time reductions to assessment-funded activities in the 01-03 biennium. We eliminated the dental insurance program. That was a program that provided liability insurance for dentists who offered their services free of charge to poor and needy families. We eliminated the sustainability board, and we also eliminated the progress board. And as you will recall, there was some funding for 0103 that was restored to the progress board at the January 2003 e-board. The 0305 governor's balanced budget for this program continues core programs at a reduced level for some. It continues funding for the ORBITS project, which is the budget information tracking system. That's what, when you say see documents, the detailed documents that are coming from BAM or LFO, they were based on this system. It also includes a package for statewide technology infrastructure investments that's focused on the network, and we'll get into much greater detail on that at the subcommittee level. And then it restores the Oregon Progress Board, but it commits to restore that within existing resources. So there's not a policy package asking for an increase in assessments or asking for an increase in FTE. Instead, the governor's committed to restoring it within existing programs at the department. And with that, back to Larry.
The next part of the all other presentation is consumer and business services, and I have a few introductory slides before Satish Upadhyay comes up to talk to you about the couple major agencies in this area. This slide shows you the 17, really. There's 10 listed, but they're really 17 because they're the licensing boards, of which there are all grouped together for this slide. Not a large part of the general fund budget, about 1.5%, 12.4 million, and as you'll see in a minute, that's all concentrated in the Bureau of Labor and Industries. The special payments portion of this has the Department of Consumer and Business Services, major player in this area, and the special payments in both 0103 and, as you see, in 0305 and non-limited payments correspond to primarily to their benefit programs that they offer. Workers' compensation benefit programs, BOLI has benefit programs, and those benefits do increase, and over time they have inflationary allowances probably built into those, cost of living for those recipients, as well as the programs that provide for injured workers to return to work. That's why you see some of the growth here in the governor's approved budget primarily linked to other funds. I believe the general fund for this area, in fact, does go down compared to 0103. Total funds, again, DCBS, you know, way out ahead of all the others in terms of total funds and the impact on employers, employees. But when you get to general fund, only one agency, BOLI, in this area has general fund support. Now I'll have Satish give you a little bit of background on what the governor's budget does for this area.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. This is Satish Upadhyay with the Department of Administrative Services, and I will be talking to you about the governor's budget for the Consumer and Business Services Program area. I will start with giving you a brief overview of the overall program area. After that, I will talk about the Bureau of Labor and Industries, which is the only agency in this program area that has general fund. The budget drivers in this program area, one is population growth increases that has led to demand for services. You will be seeing increases in some of the budgets. That is due to the increase in population and demand for additional services. And DCBS, the Department of Consumer and Business Services, the Building Codes Division, is facing a revenue shortfall. Their budget has 29 positions that have been eliminated, and the department is asking for the restoration of 9 of the positions. Another budget driver is the Bureau of Labor and Industries. As you will see later, the budget of for this agency has not increased at all in the last 10 years.
I appreciate that.
The budget for this program area consists of $868.7 million total funds. This is about 7% more than the 2001-2003 legislatively adopted budget. This includes $11.7 million of general fund. This is a decrease of about 6% from the 2001-2003 legislatively adopted budget. The Bureau of Labor and Industries is the only agency in this program area that has general fund, and the reason for the decrease in general fund is because of the reductions to the Bureau's budget during the special sessions. As a result of the passage of House Bill 5100 during the fifth special session, the budget closes the Bureau of Labor and Industries Medford office as of October 2003 and eliminates 10.88 full-time equivalent positions. Passage of House Bill 5100 also required the agency to get rid of its state apprenticeship program. The governor's budget restores this program. The apprenticeship program facilitates workforce development by providing training to individuals so they can acquire family wage jobs. The budget also adds staffing and resources to other agencies' budgets. For example, the budget adds 2 positions to the Public Utility Commission to deal with slamming and cramming. Slamming is when a phone company changes your phone service without the authorization, and cramming is when there are unauthorized charges to your phone bill. So there is legislation to that effect, and the PUC is asking for 2 positions to support this bill. There are also other agencies that have requested positions. For example, the Board of Nursing is requesting 8 positions at the request of stakeholders. The budget also funds technological enhancements. This will be done for the Construction Contractors Board and a number of other licensing boards. Lastly, the budget is dependent on a number of fee increases. The Construction Contractors Board is proposing a change in the way it charges contractors, and that will be discussed before you all when the budget comes for the subcommittee. Also, the Building Codes Division has administratively increased some fees and is asking for some positions that would be available if the legislature ratifies the fee increases that have been done. In doing the fee increases, evaluations were done of the need for the increase, as well as it was made sure that there was support from a large number of stakeholders. Let me now talk to you about the Bureau of Labor and Industries, which is the only agency that has general fund in this program area. The Bureau promotes workforce development and advocates policies that balance the demands of employers as well as the rights of workers. The Bureau also works to protect civil rights of workers as well as other rights relating to employment. As you can see from this chart, the Bureau's budget has not increased that much since 91-93. The general fund as well as the other funds have been kind of constant. And this table that you see is right out of the governor's printed budget. It talks about, it compares the Bureau's budget with the past biennium. The general fund decrease is because of the actions taken during the special session, as well as the shifting of the funding for the investigation of complaints against injured workers from the general fund to the workers' benefit fund, which is other funds. The other fund types have all increased, and this is basically due to inflation, as well as the shifting of the general fund dollars to other funds for injured workers program. I would now like to talk to you about some of the reductions that the agency has gone through during the special sessions. During the second special session, there was a reduction of $653,263 general fund. This was a major portion of this, over $500,000 was dealt with by shifting funding for injured worker investigation funding to the workers' benefit fund. And the other portion of this, the agency handled through administrative savings. There were also some reductions in the third special session. There was a reduction to the salary of the commissioner. And the agency also had to undergo a salary underfunding, which the agency observed by keeping a number of positions vacant. During the fifth special session, there was a reduction of $434,816. The agency has observed these reductions to one-time savings as well as reductions in programs, which includes reductions of 4.5 full-time equivalent positions permanently. Now, the governor's budget for the Bureau of Labor and Industries continues all existing programs at reduced levels, and it continues the state apprenticeship program, which otherwise would have been reduced as a result of House Bill 5100, and it closes the Medford office as of October 2003, and it gets rid of 10.88 full-time equivalent positions agency-wide. So that is my presentation on this program area.
Are there any questions of Mr. Upadhyay regarding these presentations, several budget presentations? Thank you very much, Satish. We'll continue on with the transportation area. Mr. Neiswander.
Thank you, committee members. In this area, there are two agencies, Department of Aviation, other funded, and Department of Transportation. Total funds, $1.9 billion. General fund, again, is all in the ODOT. Lottery funds in this budget are primarily for the debt service on light rail projects. You see a huge portion of other funds in all these slides, whether it's this one or 03-05, special payments, non-limited. This is highway funds that are used for various projects from the federal fuel tax, those continue. You can see the split of how those funds are used. Again, personal services, costs, special payments, debt service. You'll see debt service doubling because of, and they'll talk about the projects that they're doing with the in this area that are leading to that increase in debt service. Personal services costs will go up from $549 million. I think you'll see $617 million. Again, we think all those costs are overstated because of the assumption of merits built into the budgets, regardless of fund source, and we will be making adjustments for those. And you see the progression over time of the budget. Again, it's the growth in this area is due to the highway revenue bonds and their ability to put money out on those for projects. And they'll talk a little bit more about that. Again, aviation has a little bit of general fund, primarily in Department of Transportation. Probably the key ones here to outline for you is they are spending a lot of time, effort, money on bridge repair and replacement due to failures, and also the ODOT investment, the very last bullet, the ODOT Oregon Transportation Investment Act bond revenue of $500 million for pavement restoration, bridge modernization, and safety issues. So when you see some of those expenditures going up, those are the primary drivers behind it. Now I'll have Lori Byerly give you a sense of what the governor's budget does to this area.
For the record, I'm Lori Byerly from DAS Budget Management. If you look at the next slide, well, I guess you forwarded for me. Essentially, the transportation program area is the Department of Transportation. It constitutes 99% of the program area budget. And this slide talks about the program area, but we're really talking about the department itself. If you look at the 2103 legislatively adopted budget and compare that to what's in the 2003-05 governor's budget, you'll see a general fund decrease of about $8 million or 40%. And this decrease is primarily due to special session reductions that were taken during the 2001-03 biennium. Those reductions have been rolled forward. The budget increases by $6.4 million lottery funds, or about 31%. And this increase supports debt service on previously authorized rail projects. South Metro Commuter Rail is one of those projects. The budget increases by $308 million other funds, or about 18%. This increase is driven by standard inflation, projected payouts on construction projects, backfill for general fund reductions, and some policy packages. As Larry mentioned, the department has received revenue via highway revenue bonds to go out and get more construction projects up and running, and the budget reflects those additional dollars being put forward on those projects. Overall, the program area's budget and the department's budget increases by about $337 million, or 18%. The next slide shows lists a couple of things that are included in the budget. The budget is balanced to existing revenues. What that means is the department has internally looked at its highway fund revenue resources and prioritized those across the various divisions that are involved in highway programs. It reduced in some areas, added back in some others as part of its internal reallocation of those dollars, taking into consideration prioritization for certain types of projects, such as bridge and preservation projects. That prioritization also takes into consideration not only transportation system needs, but needs that the agency itself has in order to continue to do business effectively, in order to make sure it's maximizing its use of its resources. The budget maintains programs and supports initiatives to get highway construction projects underway and completed as soon as possible. The department has a lot of money now to do that work, but it's got to be able to come through and get those projects out and completed in a timely manner. The next slide just shows you the actual budget numbers, compares 9901 actuals to 2001-03, ledge adopted, ledge approved through this special session, and then shows the 03-05 governor's balanced budget. If you want to take a quick look at the position counts, you'll note that they do go down between ledge adopted and governor's balanced, and this is due to the department taking some of those reductions I spoke to earlier, or reallocation actions, as well as some reclassifications during the biennium. The department has used some positions to fund higher priority activities in the department, and we can talk about that in a much more detail when we get to the subcommittee. I believe the Department of Transportation is scheduled for 3 weeks in subcommittee, so there should be adequate time to discuss issues in detail. The Department of Transportation was essentially held harmless programmatically during special session actions. Because the department had some other funding sources available, it was able to take general fund reductions and backfill those activities with other funds. Special session reductions during 2001-03 were about $1.5 million. So they were taken across all general fund programs, rail, public transportation, and transportation growth management. There was also some dollars in transportation safety and the motor voter program that had been previously supported by general fund. Revenue became available due to changes in the transportation operating fund. Last regular session, a bill was passed that took a portion of fuel tax revenues that were supposedly attributed to non-highway use and allowed the department to put that in the transportation operating fund and use those for non-highway programs. The department recently completed a survey with Oregon State University to come up with a figure that will be used to plug into the operating fund and support some of those other activities. The biennial estimate of these dollars is about $7 million per biennium. The department has made some assumptions about that figure, as well as assumptions about what kind of actual refunds might happen. Citizens are entitled to get a refund for gas tax paid on those non-highway uses. And depending on what the volume of that refund activity is like, will impact the amount of dollars that are actually available. It's not anticipated that number is going to be very large at this time. So based on this additional funding, special session reductions were taken in general fund, and it was backfilled with other fund resources. The governor's budget continues the backfill in 2003-05, replacing about $7.3 million of what would have been typically general fund expenditures. That backfill takes into account that during 01-03, the remainder of the biennium, that there are some leftover transportation operating fund dollars that are rolled forward into 03-05 because we have not fully utilized, at least at this point, those dollars in the current biennium. Any questions? The department's budget for 03-05 does include some policy packages. These packages support the access management program and bridge permitting. The bridge problem is high priority. The department would like to provide some additional dollars to the Division of State Lands to accelerate the permitting process to get those projects up and running as soon as possible. Provide support for local government projects, engineering support. Dollars from the Transportation Operating Fund would support the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial Excursion Train. It's a two-year program to celebrate the Bicentennial and hopefully bring some economic activity to the northwest corner of the state. It provides dollars for the construction of highway maintenance facilities, provides initial resources for fuel tax auditing, which essentially would pay for themselves. Two additional positions would go out and audit fuel tax returns, make sure that those numbers are accurate, and hopefully increase the accuracy of the program and bring in additional dollars through fuel tax. It adds positions for finance operations to help the department manage its budget and financial services, and also provides four additional positions for the alternative contract delivery program. This program is what is the department's plan to try and maximize the dollars for highway construction brought to it through the Oregon Transportation Infrastructure Act that provided $500 million through revenue bonds for highway construction projects. Through alternative contract delivery, the department will try to get projects outsourced as much as possible, get them up and running more quickly, and hopefully get them completed in a more timely manner than the traditional highway construction program. That concludes my presentation for the Department of Transportation, the program area, unless there's any questions.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say not to get too attached to those transportation operating funds. I've yet to file my tax return, and all the yard work that my wife's been having me do, most of those lawnmower funds are mine.
Now, briefly, we'll talk a little bit about the economic and community development area. This area has seven agencies in it, and the focus today for DAS presentation will be on the largest of those, the first, the Economic and Community Development Department. The main message you get from looking at these slides, the pie charts, is that there is some growth in this area. Total funds, you know, going from 4.1 to 4.5 billion. The largest part of the payments, the non-limited and the special payments, are the economic development revolving loan programs. Housing has housing loan programs and bond programs for low-income housing, and employment has the unemployment benefits. So that's the major portion of the expenses in this area. There is a general fund provided for housing, for special payments and projects, and they'll talk about what the economic development does with their general fund. Those are the main ways that the funds go in this area. The growth, primarily, I think, due to the housing program, employment benefits, unemployment benefits. I think OECD's expenditures actually are down slightly from previous biennia. Where the general fund dollars are, this is all funds, excuse me, and again, benefits for employment, ODVA loan programs. General fund is in OECD, a little over $100 million. And that's actually lottery funds primarily. I'll let Cora talk to you a little bit about the drivers and what the governor's budget does for this program area.
Okay.
Thank you. Again, for the record, Cora Parker from the Department of Administrative Services Budget Management Division. With respect to the governor's balanced budget for the economic development program area, it's comprised of approximately $4.5 billion. Larry mentioned some of the breakout. A lot of that is in non-limited. A lot of it is in employment department. But it was a 7.3% decrease overall from the legislatively approved budget through the fifth special session. The budget includes $27.1 million general fund. This is an increase of 43% from that same point in time. That looks like a sizable increase, but in reality, a couple of things are going on. One, as Lisa had mentioned, during the natural resources program area, it's a relatively low base to start with, so any increase of funds results in a fairly sizable percentage increase. And then a couple of restorations were made, which were taken during the 0103 biennium as one-time reductions. I believe both of those were during the second special session, if I recall, but they're in agencies that are not my agencies, so I cannot confirm that. The restorations are $1.75 million in the Employment Department for the Child Care Division, and then $6 million in the Housing Community Services Department. The budget includes $112.9 million in lottery funds. Again, that's a fairly sizable increase, 31% from the 0103 approved budget through fifth special session. And for the most part, that increase is due to the roll-up of debt service costs on lottery bonds that either were issued or are still scheduled to be issued during this biennium. And the governor's budget focuses on retaining and expanding business investment and ensuring that dollars spent on the economy in this area are spent in places that generate the maximum benefit as we move forward. As Larry mentioned, I'm going to focus just on one agency in this area, and that's the Economic and Community Development Department. The mission of the department is to assist Oregon businesses and governments to create opportunities and build quality communities throughout Oregon. In achieving that mission, the department assists Oregon businesses and industries in efforts to remain competitive and successful. It provides grants and loans to Oregon communities for infrastructure investments, and that really is where the focus of the department has been over the last few biennia. And that was a legislative change during, I believe, the 97 legislative session. The department allocates funds for regional and rural economic and community development activities, and it administers funding for small business assistance. The department also has funding for tourism. General fund is specified to the Arts Commission, and there's film and video as well within the department. The department does have some challenges facing at this biennia. The ability to attract new businesses to Oregon and also to assist those who are here in recovering from their economic difficulties. And then, as Larry started to mention, there's a possibility of some realignment of funding priorities within the department, and that may, in fact, require some legislative change, depending on what that realignment ends up looking like. There may ultimately need to be a realignment of the department's mission and focus as it's outlined statutorily. And so that will be something that's discussed in detail in probably the subcommittee process and probably outside of the subcommittee, just generally within the House and the Senate. Historically, the department has been funded, their staff is funded primarily with lottery funds. You see that the yellow bar is general fund and lottery, but for the most part, the bulk of those funds seen there are lottery funds that provide program services. The Arts Commission is the only major recipient of general fund within the Economic Development Department's budget, and they're in the $2 million range, so not a lot of general funds going here. You see in total funds some shifting from biennium to biennium, and what that typically is reevaluation of actual other fund capacity as far as getting bonds out on the street, grants and loans to communities. The big investment that you see between 1999-01 and 2001-03 is lottery bonds that were issued, and those proceeds actually come into the department as other funds and then are turned around and put back out on the street. The 0305 governor's balanced budget includes a slight decrease in general fund from 2.5 roughly to $2.1 million. Again, that is primarily for the Arts Commission. The increase in lottery funds that you see here is almost entirely for debt service roll-up costs. Debt service costs for this agency in 0305, I believe, are in excess of $50 million. With respect to the remaining lottery funds, the department did not include any additional capacity in lottery. We actually reduced some positions, and we did not approve any of the general fund or lottery packages that were brought forward in the agency request. Again, the decrease that you see in the non-limited other funds category is the result of a reevaluation of the actual revenues that they have available to turn over into dollars out on the street to communities. Again, this is just a graphical representation of the numbers in the previous chart. You can see that the bulk of dollars in this agency are those non-limited other funds that are turned over in the form of loans and grants. General fund doesn't even really show up on this chart, and then lottery, again, comprises the bulk of staffing dollars. With respect to special session reductions, there were considerable general fund reductions to the Arts Commission, including some that will relate to ballot measure 28 if it fails. During the fifth special session, there were specific cuts that were taken to lottery funds in the Tourism Commission, the Film and Video Office, and also in the Program Services area. Yet the November e-board, I believe, passed or approved a program shift from lottery funds to other funds to help offset some of the reductions that the department otherwise would have had to take this biennium. But the conversation at that time was that the approval was specifically for this biennium and that there would need to be a reevaluation during legislative session of whether it made sense to continue that fund shift during 0305. And as you'll see, the governor's budget has stayed in line with that discussion, and it has not included the fund shift until that discussion can occur in subcommittee. Other reductions include $6.9 million from funds available for regional and rural investments. I believe that's in excess of 30% reduction to funds that were originally available for that purpose. And then we saw some lottery bond debt service savings throughout the biennium. That was a result of the delay of the first sale, as you know, because of the suits that had originally been in place, and then because of the interest rate environment that we've been in throughout this biennium.
Mr. Chair. Thank you. If we could go back to that previous. Oh, you're okay. You're right there. The reduction of $6.9 million from funds available for regional and rural investments, are those the funds that were specifically targeted for rural and urban distressed communities?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gordley, for the most part, these are funds that would go to the local communities. There are different regional and rural communities that have been designated to receive those funds, and then those recipients actually allocate them to recipients. But yes, some of the funds would have been available for minority assistance. There was some downtown assistance that I believe might be included in this number. I'd have to confirm that before I moved forward. But the funds are allocated by the actual regional and rural boards themselves.
Well, I want to be real clear, first of all, I'm not just asking about funds directed for minority-owned businesses. Mm-hmm. I'm just real concerned that a good number of us labored very hard from 1996-97 forward to redirect the resources of the Economic and Community Development Department to the needs of rural and urban distressed communities. And it's troubling to me that we're now talking about another redirection when we haven't had enough time to really measure the results of the investment that we've been making. So the shift away from rural and urban is distressed communities, I find personally troubling, And I know that a lot of the discussion has been around, well, you know, do we really need to be making these investments in rural infrastructure? Well, yes, we do. So with that said, and I'm not preaching to you, I'm just saying to our committee, this is an area that I hope the committee will really probe with the governor and his people, so that I just want to get an assurance that the folks who are now calling for a new redirection truly understand all the work that went into the other redirection. So I hope that's making sense to more than me on the panel.
Mr. Chair.
Roger.
Senator Butler.
Yes, I wanted to echo exactly what Senator Gordley is mentioning. Much of that issue relative to those rural regional programs are to fix issues that have been mandated by the state, and it would be very difficult for the state to come in and mandate that these small communities take care of problems that the state has, by elevating its standards so high, has forced upon those smaller communities, and the smaller communities basically having to be forced out of existence. And we're going to find ourselves in a mess. So I echo the words that she's saying to encourage that committee to move that direction. Thank you.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to pile on.
I think we have a hot button here, folks.
And I want to take the piling on down to one more level of detail, and that is the differentiation between those projects for rural Oregon that cannot get funded anyplace else. Clean water, good sewers, those kind of infrastructures that would so overwhelm the budget of local government, versus some of the other rural programs that have been petunias in downtown planter boxes. I think those of us that represent small communities clearly understand that difference, and almost beg the governor's office not to look away from investment in rural Oregon for the exact things that make rural Oregon an attractive place for business. And whether it's a huge 800-person business or just a small business with the potential of 15 employees, they got to have clean water, they got to have sewer, and it's those high-dollar items where we still desperately need the help in rural Oregon.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Just a pitch for the committee. At the committee level, if you haven't had your principles and process briefed just yet, you're getting them, you know, just kind of as we speak. But the principles and process, the subcommittee that deals with this directly is going to have ability to influence, you know, to a great extent, and then we'll just work our way up from there. But that's really the way the process is designed. So we'll have a chance to revisit this really in a very direct and in-depth manner. So that's what we'll see over the next several weeks.
Thank
but
you.
I sense a good portion of the committee is going to be looking at this. So.
Thank you, Senator Harper, and everyone else that spoke. And your thoughts are not lost, your comments are not lost in the discussions that have been going on with the governor and his staff and with the department. And I think the new director, Marty Brantley, is having those same discussions with communities as well as businesses. And as many of you are probably aware, some of the dollars that are you know, shown as other funds in this budget that are available for water and sewer, for example, some of those dollars are committed to those projects and cannot actually be spent in other areas. So we really are going to have to work together and during the subcommittee process and figure out what makes sense moving forward. And I think, just if I could speak briefly on the next slide about what the governor's balanced budget does and then what it doesn't do in this area, it'll maybe start to alleviate some of your concerns and at least lay the groundwork for where we're going. It carries forward the 2002 special session reduction. That includes, as I mentioned, the elimination of 13 positions that were fund shifted this biennium. And so as we talk about the capacity, the infrastructure funding capacity, and whether or not it makes sense to fund shift those during this next biennium, those positions could come back on the table. That will be something that will need to be discussed in great length in the subcommittee itself. Again, it does not expand any general fund or lottery funding for the department. That means that there were no, and there's a couple bullets down. now, but there were some packages that were requested to increase lottery bonding, for example, that would have put some additional resources out there as far as capacity for business assistance. And those were not approved. There were no new bonding packages approved as far as lottery bonding meant. So that discussion will need to be had with the governor and the legislature during the session. Unfortunately, as Senator Gordley mentioned, because $6.9 million was reduced via special session actions in the regional and rural fund, and we carried forward those reductions, those funds are reduced in the governor's budget as well. Again, something that will probably be discussed during the subcommittee process. What the governor's budget does is really lay the groundwork for the agency to work with stakeholders. That includes the business community. It includes the communities that Representative Johnson mentioned. It includes, obviously, all of you and the members on the subcommittee to talk about what makes sense. How do we get ourselves out of the economic situation that we are in right now without going backwards, as Gordley mentioned, and stepping completely away from those communities that we have finally started to make some gains with over the last few biennia. And the governor's, I think, very aware of that concern. So while ultimately we may incorporate some different priorities throughout the department, your say in that is obviously that some of those priorities need statutory change before we really can make that shift. So this is going to be an ongoing discussion and will be interesting to work through.
Senator Messer.
Mr. Chair, I just want to make a comment not related to this presentation, but it seems to me that during the five special sessions, as the budget committees put their packages together, oftentimes we look at funds that had not been expended yet in the different categories, had no relationship to whether they should be carried over into the next biennium. And I'm a little concerned that, you know, for whatever reasons, things happened in the agencies or whatever, that they just weren't able to get that money spent. So we took it out during special sessions. I have the sense that those removals are being carried over, and I hope the subcommittees can take a hard look at that and not lose some programs that really need to be looked at again.
Ditto. I think, you know, we've seen this phrase kind of over and over from the governor, lays the groundwork for discussions with the legislature. You know, different words, different, but we see that on almost every slide, and that really is what's going on here. And I said, I am very confident that with the process that's in place, we're going to figure this out, so it's going to work. Thank you. We're done, Larry? Or?
Almost.
We'll be done before 11, and he will be ahead of our Senator Schrader and Representative Miller have been on other days. Just finally and briefly, the legislative branch. This has these six agencies in it, of which Legislative Assembly is the largest, Ledge Administration, and then the smaller offices, Council, Fiscal, Revenue, and then the Commission on Indian Services. The 0103 budget was $64.9 million total funds. During the interim and the special sessions, there was approximately $4 million of that reduced. But the governor, the governor's budget basically takes and funds the legislative branch. First of all, the governor doesn't exercise budget control over the legislative branch, but and historically the governor's budget has accommodated the entire legislative branch request budgets, but over the last two biennia that hasn't been the case, and it's the same this biennium. Basically, the governor's recommended budget just took a reduction of about $18.7 million out of the legislative branch request budget, took it out of the legislative administration's piece of it technically, but basically said, you know, we were going to hold the legislative branch budget overall at its 0103 legislatively approved level. So without being specific, that $18.7 million effectively takes all of the 14 policy packages that are in legislative administration budget and essentially unfunds those, unfunds a couple packages in Ledge Council, These are the effects of that. And then basically says find another $9.4 million beyond the policy packages. So legislative branch does participate in this balanced budget effort. It does hold this agency at about its approved level for this biennium. So the nature of the cuts in 0103 were computer purchases, deferred maintenance, debt service savings, member salary rollback, things of that nature. So we have some work to do to live within that amount. As you can see from this chart, it's pretty flat compared to the approved. In fact, it matches. So that's where the budgets are. The largest piece of this, the Legislative budget, the agency request for Legislative, just to give you an example, was about $28 million. So if you take and say, of the reductions that the governor prorated across legislative branch, what would Legislative's reduction be? And it'd be about $3.5 million. So we'll do more work on this in subcommittee, and we'll get there. This ends the presentation today for you guys. The executive branch didn't bring anybody in to say what they were doing to the legislative branch's budget. So if you have any questions, otherwise I think staff are preparing for your subcommittees.
Questions? We're adjourned. For the record, Harper finished 9 minutes early. The rest of the week. The record.
The record.